Hey guys, good morning. Can you hear me from here? Okay. Thanks. I'm going to talk about what's been with me for over a year, which some of you will probably recognize in me, which is dealing with the decline and then loss of my very, very good friend, Steve Milligan. And especially regarding expectations and wanting things to be other than they are. And I always think that after 15 years of practice, I'd get better at this. And maybe I do little by little, but it's been terribly hard. From the very beginning, I wanted Steve to push harder to get doctor appointments. I wanted him to eat. I wanted to push him to eat, even though it was clear that that wasn't what he wanted. I wanted to see him and spend more time with him. I wanted him to talk about his experience through it all, and he was very hesitant about that. We'd gone through a death and dying book study group for a good while, and that made me think he'd be more open to talking about the experience. I knew he was reading books on, I can't think of what it's called, but ending your life. Via a doctor, and I didn't know if that was something that he was considering. And as a good friend who I thought, if this were me, and I don't know if that's the case, that I would want to talk about these things. And it was very painful for both Clay and me. To lose this closeness with Steve that we'd had for so long. The three of us got together regularly to meditate and have tea and chat. And it was such a huge hole even a year ago that he started pulling away. Maybe the last time we met, which was probably a year ago, August or so, I was telling some of you that we, for some reason, we thought about what our funeral playlist would be. And Clay's was something hilarious. And mine was a Motown song, and because I wanted people to have fun. And Steve's was very, very somber and an Irish tune. And in retrospect, I wondered if he had an inkling that he was on this path sooner than some of us. I struggled with this wanting things to be otherwise all for this year and a quarter, and I struggled to the very end bringing him food that I thought he would eat when he didn't want to. And I pushed him to walk with me so he would get stronger. And he didn't. And it was a huge journey for me to understand and appreciate that he had to do this in his own way. And of course, it's something you know in your head. And I wouldn't want someone pushing things on me, but I just couldn't let it go for some reason. I'm so grateful for the beautiful solstice ceremony that Sarah and others gave. I believe some of you attended that, and I had, you know, we had gone the day before the solstice. Clay and I and a few others had planned to do a sutra service outside at my house, thinking of Steve. Clay and I had done it before. And when I mentioned it to Steve's wife, Christina, she asked me, would you please come do it outside our house? And Steve had rejected this before, but she said, he can't complain about it right now. I want you guys to be here. So we hurriedly tried to gather whoever would look at their emails to come sit outside and sort of be with Steve that one last time. And Kelly and Susan, thank you so much for leading that online group, and for Sarah for setting it up with so little time so that more of us could be, you know, sort of together with him. At least that's how it felt for me. When I got there early to set up, I had brought something for Christina and was going to put it in their little closed-in porch. And Steve's brother opened the door to the house and motioned me to come in. And I said, no. He said, no, come in. And when I went in, there were a couple of family members there, and Steve was in the very small living room on a hospital bed. And I thought they were letting me in to show me that he had already passed. He was ashen and waxy, and his mouth hung open, and I thought he had moved on. And my heart caught, and my throat, and I finally saw his chest rise. And so I just let him know that it was me, and that I loved him and he would always be in my heart. And he opened his eyes and mumbled something that I, you know, none of us could make out, and closed his eyes back again. And that was very helpful, oddly, because I so clearly knew then that it was his time, and I hadn't seen him maybe for a couple months when he was in the hospital one of his times. So it was the next day when solstice happened, and Megan Rundell read this beautiful part of Joan Sutherland's Wheel of the Year ceremony that's to be held on the solstice. And I'm gonna read it to you briefly. She read it very, very slowly, so this each stage had time to sink in. And I'll tell you how the experience was for me. So this is a body of light visualization. It's a traditional Tibetan winter solstice ceremony done lying down with your eyes closed. Imagine the wind blowing away first your clothes, then your skin, flesh, muscles, blood vessels, and organs, until there's only a skeleton left. The wind stops. Lie for a while as a skeleton. Then imagine a glowing jewel inside your rib cage where your heart would be. Layer by layer, reconstitute your body. Organs, blood vessels, muscles, flesh, skin. Except this time it's all radiant. Lie for a while as a body of light. So I immediately imagined myself lying on a barren, windswept mountainside, Tibetan mountainside, whatever that might look like. And after a bit, in my mind, Steve was lying next to me. And we watched ourselves become skeletal, become just these windswept bones. And it was incredibly beautiful and moving to me because I had this overwhelming feeling, oh, Steve, you're going to be free. You're going to be so free and light. And my heart just opened and I had nothing but this welcoming for Steve to move on and get rid of this cumbersome body and all it had to go with it. And I spent, you know, the next day or two just feeling so, so grateful. I should say my meditation stopped with lying as skeletons. I didn't get to the glowing jewel inside and the light. I was stuck in that skeletal position that was so, so free and beautiful. And a couple days later, I think, so this was a Monday night, I think it might have been Wednesday morning, I was meditating. And Steve's picture is, I look at it almost every minute of the day when I'm sitting down, and I pictured us up there on that mountainside again. And we were there as our skeletons, and we lay on our sides for a while, looking at each other and talking. I didn't get any idea of what we were talking about. Then we lay on our backs and just looked up at the sky and thought how immense it was and how beautiful. And then in my mind, Steve's skeleton got up and started to walk away behind along this ridge and then behind another mountain. And he didn't look back, and he just put his hand up and waved, which I saw from the back. And I fell apart again. I thought, no, don't leave. And the pain came rushing back. And it took me a while to appreciate, at least this is how it felt for me, that, you know, as we were doing our 3 days of lighting incense for him and lighting candles for him and singing Kanzeon and the Heart Sutra, that to me, that was a sign that he was okay. He was continuing on his journey. And I don't know if I've ever believed in this or if I even do now, but that's so very clearly what it felt like. And I was able to come to some peace again with it. And it's peaks and valleys for me now. I struggle with it and then I don't, and then I do. And then I talk to Christina and it all comes back. So I want to say that I don't know how I would have gotten through this at all without my practice and without Sarah's especially care for Steve through this whole long process that she spent so much time with him, Sarah, and others. Everyone showed their care. He was just one of those people that if you didn't know him, it was pretty hard not to like him. I never heard him say a bad word about anybody. So again, I meditate almost every day now, which I haven't done in a very, very long time, if ever. It's so incredibly helpful every morning that I feel him with me. And every day feels a little bit less like a loss, but this image has stayed with me of the skeletons, and I just can't think Thanks, Sarah and Joan, and all who participated in giving that to me. I know this has been a somber talk, and hopefully I'll move on from this sometime soon, but thank you for being here listening to me. I'd be curious to know how it's been for any of the rest of you who've known, at least especially for those who've known Steve for a while.